With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's time for a noon kick.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll up.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and T-shirts.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday.
Tapped by Coors Light. Ducks fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Anteater Johnson in with you on this Football Friday. Beautiful little end of the week weather we're having. Quite enjoying it.
This is the new San Diego, man. Mm. It's going to be like 70 and sunny for another week. There's no
rain. Really?
There's no rain in the forecast at all.
I'm in on that.
This is, and I was thinking this the other night, not to start on a non-football topic, but watching the Red Sox-Yankees game four the other night, coupled with the weather that we've had as of late, I just continue to think to myself, man, I can't wait until we get playoff baseball in Portland.
How many years would you put that number at?
Five.
5 years you think we'll be in the postseason?
I'm optimistic. Okay. I also did.
I hope I'm under 50 years old if that happens.
You don't think it's going to happen for another 20 years? Some postseason baseball in Portland? Come on now.
We're getting an expansion team. I don't think we're getting relocation. So I don't think that's happening for 5 or 6 more years.
I actually just read a piece the other day on the Howard Terminal site that the A's are pushing down there. The columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle wrote a piece about it.
Who is the columnist for the Chronicle now?
Oh, dear Lord. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But the A's are going full steam ahead for Howard Terminal, but everybody think it's not going to happen. And they're just trying to do that to build up enough pressure to be able to buy the Coliseum site from the county and the city and rebuild their stadium there.
I've kind of given up that they're going to move from Oakland. So I mentally have moved on from that.
The team you want to watch that may be allowed to relocate is the Diamondbacks.
I also read a thing on them. I have no faith there's relocation is happening.
I don't have much faith there, yeah.
I'm out. I know the Diamondback situation. They're not happy. The city's not caring. Tampa has a mess that they're dealing with, and Oakland, of course, has been dealing with literal human feces. I've given up on it, so it's more like I expect us to get an expansion team and not relocation.
Yeah, if you get an expansion team, then the window's going to be a little bit longer to make the postseason.
And, you know, we're not all going to be the Florida Marlins. We're not all going to be winning a World Series like 4 years after we exist.
It's probably not going to happen.
You know, lightning doesn't strike in a bottle very often.
Although we could get the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, year one.
Catch that lightning in a bottle, baby. Make it to the World Series in year one.
My Vegas Golden Knights, that's right.
Hey, all I know is that if this weather pattern holds and we have officially become the new San Diego where it's just sunny and like 70 degrees every October, sign me up because this is perfect weather for postseason baseball. It gets a little cold at night, which you want. You want it to be a little chill in the air, a little frost.
A little cold.
I mean, yes.
The morning is freezing.
But at a 7 o'clock first pitch, it's not going to be 40 degrees. You know, you're still decently warm. It'll get colder as the game goes on.
Yeah, but remember, postseason, we're starting earlier.
That's right, 5 o'clock.
5:30 is when that first pitch
is. So you'll need a sweater, a little sweater.
You'll have to layer up.
Let me paint you a picture yesterday, by the way.
Little gloves, maybe. Hot chocolate.
I thought you would quite enjoy this.
Okay, what do you got?
I'm going to paint a picture for you, and I want to see if you can visualize this. So picture me in a camping chair, one of those little sprawl out.
Yeah, fold out chairs.
Yeah, little camping chair, sitting at a park with a blanket over me like I'm 79 years old.
Okay.
With my phone on my lap, watching Thursday Night Football next to 3 soccer moms. That was what was happening yesterday in my life.
Have you bought a minivan yet?
I'm almost there.
Can we get, if there's any minivan companies out there, please contact Brandon Sprague. He needs one. You're a soccer dad now. You're like coaching soccer. You're doing the whole thing.
My trunk has a foldable Costco wagon. It has
you're coaching soccer?
I'm kind of an assistant. Next year, I'm probably going to be coaching.
I have seen videos of you also jumping into the game and playing soccer.
They've needed spares.
Yeah, you need an extra body.
And so the coach knows that I like the physical activity. So she's like, hey, can you jump in?
You're the only one that wants to run around on the pitch and play.
She actually yelled at me when I was playing, and it was kind of weird.
She's the only one not afraid to knock over five-year-old girls. Is that pretty much it?
Oh, no, it's a what do you call it? A co-ed team.
Oh, okay.
Actually, my daughter and the coach's kid are the only two girls on the team. Everybody else is boys. But when I jumped in there, she goes, Brandon, no kicking hard. No kicking hard.
You went a little ham, huh?
Because I had one kick where this kid, he freaking comes out of nowhere.
He hit him
and as
head.
I kick it, hit him right in the knee. And he's like, oh, my knee. And I was like, oh, well, that's kind of your fault. But
I'm not going to lie. Jumping into a six-year-old soccer game, I would be tempted to dominate the dojo there.
No, let's just say
I'd be a little tempted just to go get
out
of my way.
The other team didn't score. I'll just put it that way.
LeBron James spin moves around kids.
Well, because I'm as a parent, like, you got to earn it. I don't give, like, my kid will have moments where she'll cry because she gets so upset because she's competitive.
Hey, teach her life lessons.
Right, and that's when I'm like, hey, you don't need to cry. You play because it's fun, and you're going to be mad sometimes. You don't need to cry. But I don't let her win. And so I wasn't going to hop in there and let little Drew, who's pretty damn talented, by the way.
Little Drew's got some skills.
You got scouts at these games already.
Right.
The U10-year-old team for the United States is out there looking at this 7-year-old kid.
Yeah, Timber's coach out there scouting him.
I'm not letting Drew dice me up the way he does other kids on that field. No way.
It's a matter of integrity. Your honor is at stake here.
Right.
Okay, there was the...
Work for it. That's what life is about.
That's right. Good life lessons. There was a basketball guy. I can't remember if he was like at a daycare or an elementary school or something, but there was a video that came out of him. Like, he always would play against his kids. Mm-hmm. And I think they lowered the hoop a little bit, and he just dominated them. Would like take him to the rack and dunk on him and drive around him. And everybody made fun of the guy. And I thought, you know what? No, that's good. You don't want to be in that situation thinking the teaching the kids a lesson that they're going to win every time. You teach them the hard way. They got to work hard in order to beat an adult.
Right, right.
I remember playing my dad one-on-one in the driveway.
And you always wanted to do whatever you could to win.
And whenever you would, when you finally were able to get to the point where you could win, it was a big deal.
Did he ever let you win?
No.
Yeah.
He would let me hang around. Like playing to 11, it wouldn't be 11 to nothing. He would let me get a couple of shots off and stuff. But when it came time to win, I wouldn't be able to come through.
See, and I can relate with that because I used to pretend that I was playing my dad one-on-one as a kid, and I'd always end up winning. I was dominating him from ages like 6 through 13 years old.
Well, not all of us are early bloomers here, okay?
Well, I mean, it helps when nobody's there that you're playing against. I was pretending my dad was there, and I was just absolutely schooling him. But no, when your kid starts playing team sports, I have a Camry. So the trunk of a Camry is actually pretty big.
How many soccer balls can you fit in a Camry?
You can get 3 balls in that thing. You really could.
Nice.
So there's a wagon. There's 3 camping chairs. We have a bucket that we put snacks in. We've got blankets. My trunk is packed all the time. And I make jokes about it, but I really might be close to going, maybe it is minivan time.
Become minivan guy.
Maybe I should be minivan guy.
Embrace the minivan life. My brother had this because he's got 3 kids now, and he used to always joke. He's one of those guys.
Your brother does have 3
he's
kids.
He's got 3, man. It's nonsense. I'll see him in like 18 years. But he used to joke, like, I'm never going to be minivan guy. And then eventually he caved because you just have too many of them. They used to have like a CRV, and that's just don't have enough room in a CRV.
Yeah.
But he loves it because the kid, like the 2 older ones are now at the point where they can kind of put themselves in the car seats and do the thing on their own.
Which, by the way, is one of the best feelings
step,
in the
right?
world. Yeah.
So, but he loves it because the vans have like the automatic doors. So they don't even have to like open the doors for them. Mm-hmm. Like you pull the handle, door opens, they click the button, the door closes. They can get on their own.
Right,
He's all about the minivan life.
Yeah. The only thing that holds me back is one, I don't think I'll look good in a minivan. So it might be more of the Highlander situation. You need that third row seating that can fold up. It can fold down. You can put the extra bodies there. You got a little more room. room.
You got TV screens in those minivans too?
I know. They all come with them now. They got tables. Some of them have tables that can fold up and fold down.
Wow.
Like you could play cards.
It's like the new version of the Volkswagen Vanagon.
Yeah.
That was like semi-camping vehicle.
It really is.
Had the little pop-up top on it.
You could go to
Michael Finnegan with a Vanagon.
Yeah, there you go. You could go to these soccer games and just hang out and watch sports in the van.
I could, and you know,
like the mom in the commercials.
Got a mini bar in there. If you got a mini bar, I'm all in.
The other thing I was thinking about as I was curled up and realizing how ridiculous I looked because I had a blanket over me at a park. What is the, if you could label a date that I tell you, you say out loud, you go, this date is when I'm okay with the cold weather. What's the date that you say?
How cold are we talking?
Well, last night, I mean, because we've mentioned this already, but yeah, like in the night, the mornings, it's getting pretty chilly.
Yeah, I was freezing my balls off
going
outside
this
morning. The sun was
up on my back. I was fine. And as soon as it set behind those trees.
Yeah, it gets cold.
It's freezing and you're putting a blanket on. What's
the date? So we're talking like 40s, kind of mid to low 40s.
Winter-ish weather.
November 1st. I got to get through Halloween.
You want to get through Halloween?
Wow, that's early.
See, I'm okay. I go mid-October, like October 15th or something. Once I get halfway through, then I am, like, I got Halloween stuff up in the house. We already went and got pumpkins. Oh. Like, I'm mentally in that state now.
But our falls are always usually pretty nice.
Yeah. We do. September's and October's aren't bad here.
See, I don't want to put pants on until November.
Well, we're going to the Bendale Trail November 10th that weekend. And mentally, I think that's my date.
Well, it could start snowing.
Well, I know. Well, yeah, we've been there. It's never snowed.
Driving over the mountains, though, last year, we had a ton of snow.
Yeah, but like in Bend itself, it's never snowed. We actually have always had really good weather. But I thought November 10th is actually around the time I would say if cold weather hits, I'm good. I'm okay with it.
Somebody, one of our people ones is saying get an SUV, don't castrate yourself with the minivan.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably lean getting, you know, a third row seating SUV.
Here, I think, is the common agreement that you can come to, and this is how my brother does it, is they have the minivan as a family. He doesn't drive it day in and day out.
What's his daily car?
He still has the CRV.
So they have a CRV and a minivan?
Yes, both, yeah.
So the wife is okay
she drives
the minivan.
She's the minivan daily driver. Yeah. I think there's a difference between having a minivan as a family and then driving a minivan every day. Like, if you just pull up to work every day in a minivan, you might get a little made fun of, but people understand the practicality of it as long as your wife is okay driving the minivan to work.
I've also explored the King Cab truck with the canopy back because there's a lot of room in the back of that truck, and then the kids can still fit in the back seats.
Can I fit my bike in it?
You can put your bike in my trunk, yes, if that's where you're trying to go with it. All right, we got a good show today. We're on Twitter at Durden Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, at Brandon Sprague. Let's dive into some Thursday night football, and then we are going to dive heavy into Oregon and Washington. We got the Pac-12 schedule out. We got our Pac-12 picks. The National College football schedule, we'll break that down a little bit. And, of course, we will Sprague the line with Kevin Todd at 2:30. I just want it for the record. I did beat him last weekend.
You're housing him this year.
Yeah, it's not close.
Let me see. Hold on. Let me look this up.
I think I have a four-game lead, five-game lead.
It is. Oh, I can't. Oh, wait, no, here it is. Hold on. Yep. You have a four-game lead.
Yeah.
9-8-1, and he is 5-12-1.
Yeah, yeah. We went head-to-head on the Chiefs-Jags game. He called me a moron for taking the Chiefs, and the Chiefs just destroyed Jacksonville last weekend. So we'll Sprague the line at 2:30. But let's start with Thursday night football. Something that really stands out for me. And then also, is it time for the Giants to just suck for Justin Herbert? Is it time for them to tank to go get Herbert? We'll start there. Thursday night football. Durden Sprague with you on 1080 The Fan. One big step. Yeah, as listeners point out, suck for the Ducks pretty good. I don't think you can beat that one. You might be able to come up with others. I don't know if there's a better one than suck for the duck.
Can we throw out Swigard's turtle for Herbert?
I still don't quite
think I pulled a hammy.
Turtle?
Sucking for Justin? Not as good as suck for the duck.
Suck for the duck's pretty good.
Suck for the duck's pretty good.
Whenever you have an uck in there, remember suck for luck?
Yeah, it just fits.
It goes hand in hand.
It's fit. Yeah, speaking of pulling hammies, I almost like tore my hamstring yesterday. I was mowing my backyard.
Oh, that would have been glorious for the show if you would have tore your hammy mowing.
So, and I have this shed in my backyard, and there was like a giant spider on the wall of the shed about 5 feet up off the ground. And so I didn't have any, I hate spiders. So my initial instinct was I need to kill this spider. He could come in and find me in the house. I'm going to kill this guy. And so I went with like a karate kind of kick. against the shed wall, and I was in some serious pain for the rest of the lawn mowing experience. Then I stretched it out, and thankfully I was all right. But there was a brief moment there after karate kicking the spider. I thought I tore my hamstring.
You can't Phil Mickelson your kicks?
I can't get that high, man.
You have more respect for him today, don't you?
I have an amazing – I think it's because he's a swinger. He's just very limber, the positions he gets into. But no, I don't have that ability.
Somebody said – this is not bad. How about this one? Lustin for Justin.
That's solid.
That's kind of cool because you stay away from the your team's obviously sucking on purpose thing.
That's what the fans.
Yeah,
I could see the fans being that.
Lusting for Justin.
But that's not a motto for your team when you're tanking.
I would say we could ask Mario Cristobal if they beat Washington, but he'll still probably not be in a good mood for whatever reason.
No,
he's not going to give
he's
you.
He's not going to think about losing him. He's got more eligibility.
Yeah, his motto is going to be beg him for another year.
Yeah, no,
that's going to be their motto in Eugene.
Well, the reason we're talking about a team sucking for Justin Herbert is because the Giants may be at that point. They lose to the Eagles last night, 34-13, and trust me, it wasn't even as close as that score indicates.
No,
the difference between these two teams was pretty evident when you watched them play. Eli Manning was god-awful. Second play of the Giants' first possession, he threw a pick. Carson Wentz and that offense finally got going, and they steamroll the G-Man. And I know a lot of people are in waking up in New York, and the people that have talked about this game, it's been obvious, right? They haven't drafted a quarterback. They've passed on quarterbacks. They said no to Darnold. I get that. I do. I think Sam Darnold's going to be a great football player. Saquon Barkley is a special, special talent. And even though they don't have a quarterback, even though nothing is a given in the draft with Herbert or Locke or whoever, I still think Giant fans need to be extremely happy that they do have Saquon Barkley, because I know that comparison's been thrown out too many times as my phone goes off here, but he does remind you in a lot of ways of the way that Barry Sanders played. And I'm not telling you he's going to be Barry Sanders, but damn, he looks incredibly impressive early on. He's probably going to break Kareem Hunt's record as a rookie with 7 straight games of 100 yards from scrimmage, as he did it yet again last night. So I don't think you need to be regretting taking Saquon Barkley, but it needs to be time for them to have an honest conversation in the mirror of we need to go get a quarterback.
Yeah, it does. And I think this year, the way the season has gone for them is actually a dream scenario. And I know that sounds crazy because they're 1-5. And it's one of those situations where you just kind of have to take your medicine and suck in the short term for rewards in the long term. It's almost like teams that tank, and you understand the only way you can bring in talent is by being very bad. That's the way the quarterback position is. Outside of Kirk Cousins and Peyton Manning a couple of years ago because of the neck surgery, quarterbacks don't hit the free agent market unless you're going to go try and find a guy like Case Keenum. But I think there's questions about can a guy like that win a Super Bowl, and we've seen Denver off to a sluggish start this year a little bit on offense. So the only way to go get a game changer at that position is to draft one. And if the Giants had an average year this year, they ended up going 7-9, 8-8 somehow. Maybe they just missed the playoffs. If you want to try and trade up to get one of those guys, you're going to have to mortgage a couple of years of draft picks to go do it. And we've seen teams have success with it. Philly did it. The Rams did it for Goff. So trading up doesn't have to be a death sentence. But when you're this bad and you still have pieces in place, to me, it's a dream scenario. And I think if you're a Giants fan, you are actively rooting for them to lose every single week the rest of the season. The Browns already have a couple of wins. There's no winless teams, to my knowledge, at this point. I can't remember one off the top of my head.
No. There's no winless
teams at this point in the league. So you have a serious...
Arizona was the last one.
Thank you. And they got a win last week. So you have a serious chance at getting the number one overall pick in the draft. And you can, if you can add a quarterback next year in the draft, then there's no criticism this past year about passing up on one, because you added Saquon Barkley, who's an absolute beast and was the only bright spot. You have Odell Beckham on the outside. You have some pieces on defense. The only thing you're missing is a quarterback, and you need to get one in the draft.
So this may make Giants fans even happier. Pat Shurmur was just asked about quarterback change plans. He says, no, I believe in Eli. So Eli Manning is going to stay
backup.
I don't even know the guy's name.
Webb still there?
No, they released him. They don't have him. Gino was talking mess on Twitter. He's not there anymore.
Let me go look. I remember the guy's name. It's something random.
It's nobody that you're going to know, really. You'll say the name. We'll still be like, okay, who cares?
Alex Tanny.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Kyle Laletta.
Okay.
Those are their backups.
No options there, right? A couple things I want to go with here. I thought Troy Aikman identified something that stuck out to me watching it, and I think other people did as well, and I'm glad he made the point on the telecast. Odell Beckham had yet another moment where he's talking to an object on the sidelines. He's air punching things. He's trying to get himself fired up. Saquon Barkley already strikes me as a leader on that offense. He's a rookie. He's played 6 games. He already strikes me as the guy that I would much rather be the leader than Odell Beckham. And I think you're pointing out something good here of that team, even with Eli, is not very good. They're not going to improve, in my opinion. I think they're terrible. So if they play and they get the number one pick, you go get a quarterback. And let's just say, for argument's sake, Herbert does come out. Somebody says, hey, you mean number one pick, may never happen in your life. Take this chance. And he does. I almost am wondering, I'm going to watch the Giants the rest of this year, and I want to see what Odell's like. If I'm in a position to go get a Justin Herbert, I'm almost thinking about getting rid of Odell. Give me the pieces. I don't need the headache. I'm sorry. It's a headache. Until we see it not be a headache, it's been nothing but a headache. They have since that boat game, by the way, that playoff game.
What are they, like 4-19?
They're 4-19. Yeah. Eli, since he won his second Super Bowl, is 43-58.
Yeah.
43-58 since he got his second championship. And I know Giants fans on Twitter, like personally, I see them on other social media platforms. It's always someone else's fault. Eli Manning has one of the biggest passes in sports history that I've ever seen from a franchise player.
And when you win two, you get a big pass.
Right. And it means everything to those Giants fans. But God, if you can't recognize how bad he's been now for 2-3 years, I don't know what to tell you, because I can't break down football on the level of some of these other people. It's pretty obvious when you watch him play. So I think the Giants have some things to be optimistic about. And I still think there's a way for them to maneuver and be okay as a franchise in the future. But this year, it's going to be really tough.
No, it's going to be ugly this year, because Eli is up there in age. As we mentioned, the backups, you're not, and people calling for Eli to be benched, I'm okay with that. But then you're not going to get anything out of those two guys that are sitting on the bench. It's not a viable option. You saw that last year when they benched Eli and they brought in Geno Smith, and they thought this was the end of the era. And then didn't Geno Smith come in and throw a couple of picks, and they had to put Eli right back in?
And that was a bad rap, though, and that was because of the media. That wasn't a McAdoo problem. He identified Eli was not good.
Sure.
And instead of going Davis Webb, he went Geno, and everybody already had an opinion on Geno, so it was...
And he didn't play well, and he backed up the opinion of everybody.
And I didn't like the narrative either. It was like, oh, how could you do this to Eli? The disrespect. It's like, this is called pro sports.
Yeah.
Not everybody's John Elway riding out on the shoulders, you know?
It was the streak, I think, remember, because he had that game-started streak that came to an end because he had played so many years in a row and started so many games. I know,
he wasn't good.
He was bad, and he still is bad. The Odell one, to me, will be interesting to watch, and I'm with you a little bit, and... The rest of this year for me, if I'm the Giants GM, would be a tryout for Odell Beckham to see where he's at mentally.
I'm with you.
He went to the locker room and everybody was wondering what was going on. He needed an IV. I'm also wondering, why do you need an IV? Are we not in this?
Are you dehydrated?
That's
you
usually
didn't play,
a September
really.
Problem when it's 100 degrees and it looked like a cold, chilly, rainy night last night. So I thought that was somewhat interesting. You mentioned him punching another inanimate object on the sideline, which was weird. This is when you can watch the Giants and just see that there's a culture issue. And you saw it last year. They kind of quit on McAdoo. They weren't playing for each other. Aikman pointed it out a ton last night on the broadcast, and I agreed with him. There's just no fight. There's no sense of urgency. There's no unity on that sideline. Well, and I wonder how much of that has to do with a guy like Odell Beckham being the face and the spokesman for your team and all the stuff that he said.
I guess I would have just said, do you think it's Shurmur? Because some people think Shurmur, the retread as a head coach, he's a good coordinator. Or... do you think because of the Odell interview, because of the antics off the field that he's been doing for a couple years now,
he sets the tone for the rest of
it? It just impacts guys, and guys get tired of it. Also, Janoris Jenkins. I was watching Chris Carter this morning. Janoris Jenkins hasn't played well either on defense, and you almost kind of wonder how much his best friend murdering his brother in his house.
Right. The off-season
thing. That's a lot to deal with, man. Yeah. So you just point to different guys on this team, and if it's not one thing that's out of somebody's control, it's another that somebody else is causing. And it's just a nightmare scenario this year. And, you know, it may present a number one pick option for them to go find that Eli Manning replacement. But until that happens, I just think it's going to be it's tough sledding for New York. They got a couple wins on their schedule coming up. San Francisco's one of their next four opponents. So they have a chance, but I don't think they're winning more than 5 or 6 games. I think they're going to
tank
be
for the number one pick, man. It's the best thing for your future.
We'll see. All right, let's dive into Oregon and Washington, the big game this weekend in the Pac-12. Who's going to win? And also, who's the most annoying non-graduate sports fan on social media? Husky fan or Duck fan, non-graduate on social media. 55305 is the Better You Today text line. Talk about that next. I will make you a promise. Somebody in Autzen Stadium will cry when this song plays before this game. Whenever they play it, somebody...
It's not going to be me, man. Don't look at me.
They are going to cry.
Some people don't like this song, but they play it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I love it. I love
this
song.
It's kind of teed up perfectly for your school.
Yeah, some people think it's kind of a mood. It's like a slow mood killer kind of song. I've heard some complaints about it.
But they pair it with... Because I've been there when they've played it. They pair it with, like, highlights.
Well, the music video has highlights in it, yeah. The actual...
But don't they sync up organ highlights with the music?
They're in the actual song, yeah. Like, the Kenny Wheaton's Gonna Score right. is in the actual song.
And people don't like that still,
huh? I don't know, man. I don't know. I love that. I love that. That's a good
song.
Do
people hate Shout at the end of the third quarter?
No, that one is universally loved.
Okay.
That one, that's...
Do they hate the motorcycle coming out?
No, I don't think so. Although they did get rid of the cool siren sound that they had. They played that, remember that siren sound that they had in game one? I actually really liked that. They haven't done it since week one.
Was that at the beginning when they come out of the tunnel?
No, like when for third downs on defense. Like the remember
the
purge horn sound.
They don't do third down of things anymore, do they?
They play music now. I'm not a fan of that. I liked the sound effects.
Yeah, you should have a third down thing.
They play the Joker and the Thief song over and over again.
Yeah, and that I like that at kickoff. I didn't like that.
You play the horn, you know, get people riled up.
All right, man, it's tomorrow. It's 12:30, so a lot of people can wake up and boom, a couple hours away, kickoff here on the Fan. You're going to be down there. You're going to be on the sidelines. I'm going to have the post game.
Let's go.
What are we thinking? How have you changed or felt from, I don't know, Monday to Friday?
I don't think I've changed a whole lot because nothing's really changed for either team. The injury reports are pretty clear on both sides, although the Miles Gaskin shoulder would have me a tad concerned if I were a Husky fan. He said all week and even...
They're downplaying it.
They're downplaying
sure.
it, saying he's fine. But he was grabbing his shoulder, and he had to carry the rock a lot in UCLA last weekend, and especially late in that game. So I do think there's a little something to it. It almost reminds me of Bryce Love going into the Oregon game where everybody, he's clear, he's fine, but it was a... Well, is he at 100%? I mean, are you catching him at 80 or 85%? Maybe that's a slight advantage for Oregon. I've liked the Ducks all week. I know, shocker. But I just, there's certain things to me that play into them winning this weekend. The fact that they were on a bye last week, I love. The fact that the roster is healthy is something that's going in their favor. The fact that Washington was on the road last week and having to go on the road again this week, I think some of the strengths really... aren't a huge deterrent for me thinking Oregon can win this game. I mean, Oregon's strength on defense is their front seven. Washington's strength on offense is their running game. So I don't think that's a favorable matchup in either direction. It's almost a wash to me. Washington's inability to get after the quarterback is something that I think you have to keep your eye on. Only having eight sacks in six games. I know they get a lot of pressures, and Damon Heward downplayed it when we talked to him yesterday, but That to me is a telling stat, and I think you've seen this year when you give Justin Herbert time to throw the football, I don't care how good your secondary is, we're talking about a guy who's likely going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, and he will find ways to pick you apart. You've had a number one wide receiver show himself the last couple of weeks against Stanford and Cal and Dylan Mitchell, so there's a lot of things to me that I like about Oregon in this one, not to mention it's at home, which is always a huge benefit.
Well, we had Damon Heward on the show yesterday, and if you missed that interview, we'll bring back a couple pieces here. Here's the one Dirt was referring to. Justin Herbert's had a really good start to his season, but Damon Heward says, you know what? Herbert hasn't seen a defense quite like UW's.
You know, the one thing I'll say is I'm not sure he's played against a defense like he's going to see on Saturday to date this year. You know, those first three games, you know, I wouldn't say those are, you know, very good football teams. Obviously, you know, what he did against Stanford and those numbers he put up against a good Stanford team were pretty ridiculous, but you know, didn't get it done down the stretch of that game. Did win at Cal, but he's going to see, you know, by far and away the best defense that he's seen all year. And you know, to have any success, he's going to have to be very patient. And a lot of quarterbacks just can't do it against this Husky defense.
I was talking with somebody before the show today about this game, and there was a suggestion that Washington should actually dare him to move, make him run. Because if they just say, all right, we got to take his legs away because he has that ability to mm-hmm. be a dual threat guy. Mm-hmm. If they just make him a pocket passer, he'll dice him up. So this person seemed to believe that if you can make him run, Washington has a strong advantage in this game versus keeping him in the pocket and allowing him to find the open man and move the ball down the field. You agree with that?
I don't know about a strong advantage, but I do think you would rather have Justin Herbert running the ball than throwing the ball. I'll agree with that notion. I think they do need to blitz. If Washington's just going to bring three all day, he's going to have time to throw the ball. Washington's strong up front, but Oregon might have one of the better offensive lines in the conference. Pro Football Focus just came out with their rankings of the best offensive lines in the country, and they've graded Oregon at this point in the season the third best in the country,
yep,
behind only, I believe, Alabama and Wisconsin. So this is a strong group up front, and they've kept him upright for the most part all year. So if you're not going to blitz, he's going to have time to throw the football.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other part, too, is finding out the approach Washington's having, because we mentioned the fact that they only have 8 sacks as a defensive unit. Will they be able to get rid of that narrative and thinking that people have and get to Herbert? Because if he doesn't, and we'll get to predictions and stuff later, you're going to be really hard pressed to imagine Oregon's offense being shut down if Justin Herbert has time to pass. That's what I would say about that. So if you're not blitzing, if you're only bringing 3 or 4 in and you're not adding extra pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Herbert, to me, is already at an NFL-type level. He can get the ball out in 3 seconds or less. You giving him 3 to 4 seconds, I mean, he is going to carve you up. Another one from Damon Heward, because we had him on. Jake Browning has struggled, and this is something I want to get to here in a few minutes. But Damon Heward, we asked him about Jake Browning, who's been inconsistent this year and really not the same quarterback since 2016. And I thought he brought up a really, really good point that nobody has talked about yet. Here's Damon Heward.
So he created this standard of putting up these crazy numbers and all these points. Then he gets hurt. And I hate to make excuses and all this and that, but he got hurt at the end of that sophomore year. We won beat Colorado in a game he threw for like 100 yards. And everyone remembers the Alabama game where mm-hmm. he threw the interception before the half. So he's hurt. He has off-season shoulder surgery. He can't lift weights. He doesn't do spring ball. We nurse him through training camp. And last year, the numbers fell back a little bit, but we still, won 10-plus games for the first time in back-to-back years since, 91, 92. So won a lot of football games, didn't put up crazy numbers. And then this year, you kind of look at his numbers, 9 touchdowns, 5 picks. But, my God, he's been so accurate and efficient. And if you really have watched all of these games, it's actually him making big plays on a third down run or a play he had to make in the fourth quarter against Arizona State. And then once again, he does it at UCLA. So if you've watched every single snap and play of this season, you would think Jake Browning's doing some really awesome things, making some big plays, helping us win football games, despite not putting up video game type numbers like he did when he was a sophomore.
So, it's interesting to think, and we'll come back with this one because we're way against it. But Jake Browning, a lot of people feel confident, I think, on the Oregon side of things because of the inconsistent play of Jake Browning. And it's eye-opening when you really break it down about who he was in 16 and who he has been basically these last 2 seasons. We'll dive more into that in Jake Browning. And then get a little more into which fan is more annoying on social media. Is it a runaway Duck fan here, or the Husky fan's pretty annoying on social media as well? We'll dive into that next on 1080 The Fan. This is a good point by a listener at the Better You Today text line, and we may dive into this as well because we did a poll question on it on at Dirt and Sprague. Which non-graduate? So they did not get a degree from the school. They didn't go to the university.
There's a good chunk of them on both sides.
Yes, there are. Which non-graduate fan base is more annoying or the worst on social media, Oregon or Washington? And you know, we did this question. You instantly, Oregon's going to win this.
Of course they're going to win.
But this is a valid point. This person says, I'm a fan of neither, but I'd have to say UW fan got a lot more tolerable post 0-12 season.
I will say that. I mean, the answer for me is easily Oregon.
Has Oregon fan attacked you? Because I get Beaver fan that will sometimes come at me, and I'm like, I went to Oregon State.
Yeah, I get it from time. Not too intense, but I get it from time to time.
I think I get it more because we do talk more Ducks on the radio station.
Sure. We just had somebody complain on Twitter yesterday that we haven't talked any Beavers this week.
Sure, and that's going to happen from time to time.
They have a bye. They don't play anybody.
Because I went to Oregon State, people think I am betraying the university.
Ah, yes.
By talking about the Oregon football program.
How dare you?
Like, no, guys, I'm sorry.
I think part of the reason, too, I'll answer Oregon is that I don't have... I don't remember 90s Husky fan, for one. So that's part of it. I think the folks who are older and remember 90s Husky fan might side more with Washington in a case like this because they were pretty insufferable, I've heard, in the 1990s.
Well, let me ask you this real quick, not to interrupt you, but how did we, before social media, really quantify who was an annoying fan base?
Going to games.
Okay. That was the barometer, right?
I think if you went in as an opposing fan to a stadium, the way you were treated, the things that were said to you.
And Husky fans were probably snobby, uppity, we're clearly the dominant team here, you're not.
Well, I think the other part of the reason why I answer Oregon, too, is I don't have a lot of Huskies in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a lot. I mean, I just don't. When I'm up there, obviously, then you see it. And I've been to a couple of Oregon games at Husky Stadium before. I've had stuff thrown at me before. But I don't.
Did you deserve it?
No.
Okay.
No. Sometimes I deserve it. I didn't deserve it that time. But I don't have like a day in and day. Like, I don't have Husky fans who just troll me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have people that are constantly tweeting me. We have Husky fans that listen to the show.
Yeah.
But most of them are very reasonable on the Better You Today text line.
Right. You'll get occasional, guys, can we talk a little dogs? And, you know, I get that. Yeah. But, yeah, for the most part, pretty reasonable bunch out there. So you can vote there. We may read a couple more texts on that one later on. I want to talk about Jake Browning. Because we've dissected this game all week, and you kind of come to the conclusion Justin Herbert leaves you the most confident about your chances to win this if you're Oregon, right?
Washington has the better team. Oregon has the better quarterback.
And I think because of Washington's quarterback situation and him not blowing people away the way that he did 2 years ago when they won the Pac-12, you get a lot of people on the Oregon side going, man, him at Autzen with a better defense now. The revenge factor, we're a better team than we were in 16. Yeah, it's going to be a nightmare for him. Well, it was interesting because Damon Heward, we just played it and you missed it. You can catch that podcast at 1080thefan.com. Damon Heward cited that it's because he put up video game numbers in 16.
As sophomore year.
He set an expectation that realistically, you just can't achieve that year in and year out.
No.
And because of that year, people have this thought of who he is versus what he really is. And I'd never thought about this before, but if you go back and look at who he played that year, and this goes back to they didn't have a tough schedule thing, he's 100% right. We looked up the numbers yesterday.
It's crazy from his sophomore year.
And we didn't talk about it, so I want to bring it to you real quick. I don't have exact touchdown counts. I know we could do that, but the paper I had over here got thrown away. I'll just break it down this way. He played Cal, Oregon State, Oregon, and Arizona State that year. All four of those defenses were bottom four in the conference that season. He had 23 touchdowns. Of his 43, he had 23 against those four teams that year. Add in the Portland State and the Idaho and non-conference, and he had about 68% of his touchdowns came against those six opponents.
Right.
Half the schedule was because he played a horrible group of teams. And that's not to take away what that season meant to Washington. I just think it's more to put in perspective. He was phenomenal. It helps when you play absolutely terrible defensive group teams. And, you know, I think these last 2 years, this is who he is. He still has an ability to scare you. But for the most part, I think going in, if your quarterback's better, you think you have a chance in this one.
He doesn't scare you. And I think you're 100% right. He reminds me of like Neil Olshay's, we're going to win 55 games with Al Farouk Aminu at the four. It's like, why do you say, like, you're setting yourself up for failure here. Mm-hmm. And that's what his sophomore year was. He dominated terrible defenses. That Oregon defense 2 years ago is one of the worst I've ever seen. And it was a huge reason why they went 4-8 and had one of their worst years in a long time. He had 6 touchdowns in that game. So he feasted on some bad opponents that season, bad defenses at least inside this conference. And this is, I think, his freshman year, his junior year, and then this year. This is who he is. But the thing that would have me somewhat optimistic if I were a Washington fan is he has shown times this year that he's not going to at least get in the way. And I think that's what he needs to do tomorrow. He's not going to come out and throw for 380 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's not the quarterback that Jake Browning is. That's not the offense that they run. We have a Husky fan texting in, you know, key situation late in the first half against Arizona State. They went with the Wildcat to try and run the football. They are a running team. They want to pound it with Myles Gaskin. That's their MO as an offense. What you need Jake Browning to do, though, is not lose you the football game. He has been better with the turnovers this year, but he's had those moments. The Utah game late,
boy,
when he's getting sacked sacked and he flips it to a defensive lineman, which should have led to a defensive touchdown.
Well, remember the play two plays prior to that, he almost did it the first time.
He did it, yeah.
And the guy couldn't catch it.
Right. He did the same exact thing. And the defensive lineman lost the ball out of bounds with the two, and then the Washington defense got a goal line stand because Utah's offense sucks, and they ended up winning that game, whatever it was, 17-3. You can't have moments like that in this kind of game. And Oregon's defense going into the Cal game had not forced any turnovers. Then out of nowhere, they had four picks and the scoop and score. That would, to me, was a lot of it was Cal's offense just handing them the football. That, to me, is going to be a big one. If Jake Browning doesn't hurt the team, Washington's got a good chance to win. But if he gets one of those wild hairs up his nose and starts throwing some picks, it's going to be tough for them to overcome
that. Yeah, I mean, here's something you just put into perspective. He had 7 touchdowns against the Ducks in 16. He's got 9 total for the year right now.
Right. In one game, he had 7 total touchdowns.
Right, and I was at that game. I mean, he would throw a 20-yard pass, and they'd break one play, boom, 60 yards or whatever. You know, they had big play after big play in that game, and that was a blowout from the get-go. I want to go more on this game. I know we're going to dive into this. It is tomorrow. It's the biggest game, and you know, I don't have a rooting interest here. I'm excited as a football fan to see what is going to happen because I've heard so many differing opinions on what they think is going to happen at Autzen Stadium between Oregon and Washington. So more on that in hour two. We also will get to Colorado USC a little bit. Or actually, we'll save that for the Pac-12 picks. We'll get to the national college football schedule. The Pac-12 continuing to get destroyed nationally for their replay official snafu. And then the AL and ALCSs. We'll do a little baseball talk as well. All of that is ahead. Hour two. Dirt and Sprague back with more on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.